This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to the show, it's Health and Living on The Bigger Picture. I'm Tina Camilla. 2 weeks ago, Celine Chan and Lalita Nair shared with us part of their journey through breast cancer. Today, we find out what therapy was like and some of the side effects they had to deal with.
I think fatigue would be one of the, at the top of the rung, particularly because also I was working. And as a result of which, you know, you needed to have energy to do what you wanted to do. Taste. It feels a bit like being pregnant. You know, you don't have your taste and you have aversions to certain kinds of food that you really enjoyed before. And I think they say don't eat very much meat during these treatments. I think God sometimes does help you because I just couldn't eat meat at that point, particularly chicken. And I was hankering for greens, and greens were the thing to do. And of course, there was this element of nausea, though we don't vomit because we put a lot of anti-vomits in our pre-chemo medication. And I took a lot of coconut water. It was the substitute for days that I couldn't eat. It was wonderful drinking and eating that flesh. So that's another option you have if you're hungry. Go with coconut.
So from the mastectomy, the side effects was just pain because the reconstruction using the muscles from your shoulder blade, pushing it right to become your breast. So that was painful. But pain, you have painkillers, so not too bad. But I was trying to be brave. Oh, no, cannot take too many painkillers, you know, because you have cancer, could make it worse. Okay, so that was one. And then came the chemotherapy. So you hear all sorts of horror stories, right? That chemo, oh, how it'll make you throw up, you will be really sick and tired. The main thing that affected me was the tiredness. And I still continued working right after the chemo sessions because I was determined to fight all these side effects. The actual real side effects was just tiredness. You feel heaty. So coconut water, that was a great savior. And the metallic taste that you have in your mouth. But in my case, I was very lucky. My metallic taste only lasts for a couple of days. And then after that, I felt very hungry.
Yes.
And I wanted to eat anything and everything. So you're right about being pregnant. It's like you're pregnant. But in my case, it was not too good because I wanted to eat asam laksa. I wanted to eat everything and anything that was tasty.
Yeah.
You both underwent conventional therapy. Did you ever consider alternative treatment options?
I did think about it because of the horror stories that you hear with chemo and stuff like that. I just felt that I didn't want to go through that. Hair loss was something that I couldn't take. I could lose my breast, but my hair was my my crowning glory. But I did do my research on these alternative, especially this B12 thing, which is kind of popular now. It has a lot of positives, but because it's conducted by practitioners who may not, or rather we may not be protected by a lot of the legal issues that may crop up. So I did think about what happens if something happens to me. As an individual, I decided I will go with the tested for starters. Hopefully I don't have a relapse, but for now it has worked. And so I can't complain about the choice I made. I think I made an educated choice and it's worked for me. We individuals, we patients need some time to know. Not too much, because I think I read too much and I said, no, I can't read anymore because it's affecting my decisions. But I think we need to know enough to possibly make the right calls and get maybe more than one opinion, because doctors aren't always right. So you need to do that for yourself, not for anybody else. And that's what I did. I hope I did right.
I think when your friends and people that you know, when they hear that you've got cancer, those who've had experience with alternative medicine, right? It's always them trying to help you. So everybody, every single person will come and say to you, oh, you know, chemo is bad. It's poison to your body. How about you try this alternative medicine? Vitamin C, B12, food diet. It's not that it's not good, but I feel that when there is a proven method first, there is a good chance that it can help solve this problem why not try that first? Yeah, I think it's okay to go through the conventional method first. And I think people go for alternative therapy when there is no other hope. And maybe that's the only way that they have.
Actually, I'm not sure if it's because they don't have any other hope. Mm. But I think sometimes it's again like us, we made the educated choice. Yes. Because I know of people who've made that choice and who are in a wonderful place. And then I ask myself, didn't you have to try that? But I don't quiz myself anymore because it's worked for me. And it was not because of no choice or no hope, but it's because they have looked at how it could affect their body long term. And so they made the choice.
I have an aunt who refused to go through conventional therapy for whatever that reason was. Yeah. And it got so much worse. And unfortunately, she's just passed away. So I think, you know, sometimes it's a very individual situation.
Exactly.
Right?
I mean, lots of people who have done chemo have also passed on.
Yes.
So I don't think there's any one right answer, but I think it's a combination of who you are, your body, and the people around you that are possibly giving you the right advice. You filter and you make the decision. But having said that, the urban population are very much in the know. But my concerns are the many women in the rural areas who are fighting this with really no support. They have got to come all the way to see a doctor, to KL, to GH. Appointments are far and in between. And I do go to GH because I want to know what it's like as well. So I go for my 6 months checkups at the General Hospital and I sit with all these people who have taken a bus from Kedah or whatever at 4 o'clock in the morning, do their treatment and on the bus back. And for me, just not even 5 minutes between my home and SJMC, I'm already feeling, oh my God, what a life I have. I'm so tired. I'm so fatigued, miserable. And I just can't even put myself in that person's place, taking a bus back home. You know, and they got to go to Pudu Raya and wherever to get those buses. So I think we need to actually reach out to them rather than to all of us who have this luxury and privilege.
In your decision-making process, how much did cost factor in?
Very much. I was lucky I had an insurance policy, which of course now I can't use because it's, yeah. But I did make all the other checks on government hospitals. That's why I also go to GH, because if anything happens or there's a relapse, if I can't afford it, I would have to look at public hospitals to bail me out. And that's one of the reasons. Cost is definitely something that's just so exorbitant.
Cancer treatments are so expensive. If someone has no insurance, who is not so fortunate to be working, who has the private facilities at hand and having to go through government treatment. I mean, luckily there is government treatment,
sir.
Yeah. But cost is always a factor with any sickness, I think. So with cancer treatment, every single treatment is so expensive. Each session is X thousands of dollars. It gets more expensive depending on what treatments you take. So yes, I think it's one of the main concerns for a lot
very
of people.
Much.
I'm very blessed that I'm still working. I have got the insurance. I didn't have to touch my personal insurance. But like you say, what happens later on? Because you've got this cancer now. In future, no insurance company wants to insure you. So yes, it's a reality, isn't it?
Yes, it is very much.
Would you have any advice for others who are facing breast cancer?
Be alert wherever you are. Just be conscious of changes in your body and be in control of what you want, what you need, and get your way through.
I think in my case, my experience is that, do you know that I did my regular checks, the mammograms, the ultrasounds, and a few years ago, I actually had a lot of cysts. But I think what I did not do was did not go to the right surgeon. So when you have a breast problem, whether it's, you think it's a problem or not, go to a breast specialist. And that is my one very important advice to a lot of people. If you don't go to a breast surgeon, you can go to a general surgeon who may have the right experience but may not have enough experience to give you the right decision making. So that's my one regret, because I felt that I could have detected this earlier. Mine was only stage 2, not an issue. But I think a few years ago when I found that I had cysts, now looking back, of course, easier to talk in hindsight, but we should have done a biopsy, and I probably would have detected it at stage zero. So find the right specialist.
I've been speaking with Celine Chan and Lalita Nair, who shared with us their breast cancer journey. On the second part of this two-part conversation, Celine and Lalita shed some light into cancer treatment options and the cost involved in breast cancer care. If you missed any part of the show, or if you would like to hear the first part of this conversation, look up the podcasts on our BFM app. You've been listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.